In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The temple buildings, they must have been impressive. After all, this is the only occasion where the disciples came to Jesus and pointed something out. They never came to him and said, "Hey, check out this tree," or "Look at this snake," or "Have you ever seen a well like this?" At least not that we know of from the holy evangelists. But they did point out the temple buildings, those magnificent edifices that began with King Solomon, ended with King Herod, and were utterly destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. It's not as if the one through whom and by whom the heavens and earth were made didn't know every detail that went into those buildings. And as for the disciples themselves, as far as we know, they had no part in using their own hands to build them. But it could very well be that as they spoke and as they pointed to those buildings, that the builders were still at work, putting the finishing touches on them. And of course, there's always the cleaning and the maintenance that needs to be done. But the bottom line, however, is that they must have been very impressive to the eye. Impressive, even though the Tower of Babel had long since been largely forgotten and the great pyramids of Egypt that were further south were already weather-worn and beaten. This arrangement of matter by human hands, the fashioning and building of temple buildings that were not only meant to endure, but also to glorify God. Indeed, they were meant to be the very place on earth where God manifests himself gloriously in the presence of men. And not just a holy God, but a holy, holy, holy God whom no eye has seen. But as for fashioning things with the hands in general, you do that a lot, don't you? You might not be building the Empire State Building or the St. Louis Arch, but your hands, they've been busy, haven't they? And so has your mind and your body in general. Well, what kind of edifice have you been building? Take all of your cooking, all of your cleaning, your planting, your harvesting, your drilling, your lifting, You're exercising and hunting and searching and rearranging and shopping and buying more things to rearrange and lose. You're digging and you're hammering and you're filing and you're creating and saving and you're talking and you're planning and you're collaborating and everything else you do or have done. What do you come up with? What do you have? Does it even come close to those temple buildings? How about your reputation? Are you trying to build that? How about your body? Are you trying to build that? Your bank account, your future home. Maybe you cast forth in your mind that time when you can experience what Van Halen sings about, all the bills are paid, I've got it made in the shade. But you don't experience that, do you? That garden that you dream of, it's never done. That dream home that you want, it's never complete. You might have that one bill paid, but here comes another one, and it's bigger. The vanities written of in Ecclesiastes, that's what's yours by experience. The struggling and the striving, it just never ceases. And there's a reason for that. You inherited it. It is an unholiness unfit even to draw near to the temple of God, let alone look at it or dwell in it. It is your sin. Are you a sinner? Yes, you say. I am a sinner. But so is everybody else. You take comfort in that, don't you? That since everyone else is a sinner and we're all in the same boat, at least you don't have to fear anyone else condemning you since they're right there with you, right? You forget, however, that it is the holy, holy, holy God whose temple is being discussed here, and that you, as an individual, must stand before his holy and perfect judgment. Do you think he's impressed with all your work, all your attempts to build an edifice for yourself? Whether it is your home or your reputation before God and man, with man coming first. So here it is, the Lord of heaven and earth declares that there is not one stone that will be left stacked upon another. It was true for the temple in Jerusalem, the disciples laid their eyes on, and it is true for you. Even as the Holy Spirit speaks to you through St. Peter only 1 week ago, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Nothing will be left out of this new arrangement of matter. Nothing you built. Nothing King Solomon or King Herod supervised to be built. Nothing Joseph, son of David, the carpenter who taught Jesus the carpenter to build, will be left that was built. Nothing any man has ever built, whether it be a great building built by great men or a Lego town built by a young child. Nothing will be left out of the remaking and the completion of all things at the last day. Because that completion will be tied into the Lord of the heavens and the earth, whose intent is not to leave things as they are, but to make them new. 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 Not in a way you can imagine, because you, by virtue of your inheritance from Adam, are stuck in the old. But new because the Creator will rearrange things in such a way that no man has yet directly to know. And yet this he has begun and done as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This he has begun and done in and through his only begotten from eternity, and he's done it for you. You need not marvel at any other edifice or have any other edifice. You need not build your own or struggle on your own. even as before you call, he will answer, and while you are still speaking, he will hear, because from the foundation of the world he ordained to plunge himself out of pure love into the very heart of the fallen creation you now experience, using his own blood sacrifice to draw you from this wobbly world of crumbling chaos and into his very presence. That is what he is doing here. And that is what he has done by baptizing you into his name, baptizing you with water. Again, as the Holy Spirit says through St. Peter, by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water. And by water, that same water comprehended in the word of God has been applied to you in such a way that everything Christ Jesus has accomplished in his flesh as a perfect sacrifice of love before the Father has now been delivered to you concretely and bodily. The demands of the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth have been met in this Christ Jesus, and now they are delivered to you completely and fully, so that your works need not be considered or worried about, because his works have become yours. No, it doesn't look like it or feel like it. Why should it? All things are not yet complete. The gospel has not yet been preached in all the world, and the end has not yet come. And yet the end and the beginning are all comprehended in this Christ Jesus. And it is he who has delivered himself up for your sin and has joined himself to you, so that your hope, your building, your works, they are his, given to you. The tree of the cross is that building most precious, sweet and pure. And meanwhile, the snake eats dust and his head is crushed. Your food of heaven is brought to you here in the very body and blood of Christ given up for you. Death and the shedding of blood are attached to his name, you know. And death and the shedding of blood that completes and satisfies the wrath of God against all sin is what is here. That is precisely what you proclaim when you kneel and partake of him at this altar. You know that no creature could make satisfaction for your sin, your propensity to build your own edifice in honor of yourself, your propensity to go out and buy oil that God does not provide. It's only Christ Jesus, whose works are complete and whose works are bundled up and delivered here, that can deliver you forever and ever. As the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you by his holy and precious blood, purchased and won you by his innocent suffering and death, and as you are justified and righteous by his grace through faith in his resurrection, so then you live an orderly and disciplined life in faith and in love, not to justify yourself or build for yourself, but in the sure and certain hope of his perfect righteousness given to you and for you. For even now you live under him in his kingdom, in his righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, and purity. Sure, there seems to be no end to the apparent worries of this life on earth, and no lack of things that are incomplete, even as lawlessness is aiming to make your heart turn cold, you name it. But none of these worries undo the cross and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, nor can any or all of them separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do not give yourself over to pride and despair, but be on your guard. And keep on the alert by listening to the word of Christ and by availing yourself of his gospel. Listen to his word and heed it. Receive and trust his good gifts, no matter how you feel. Yes, enjoy the many good gifts of his creation, for they are his, and it is good. Receive his benefits in faith and with thanksgiving, sanctified by his word and by prayer. It does no good to get drunk on any of his good gifts or to worship or abuse what you receive daily and richly from his hand. But let your grip on this world be light and easy. Don't throw it all away, but hold on loosely and be ready at any time to let go of anything and everything that is not Christ Jesus. After all, look around and notice that everything in this world is passing away. This is not your future. This is not your true and permanent home. This is a pilgrimage in a foreign territory. But your dear Father in heaven has opened his heart to you in Christ Jesus, and he has his eye on you in love. His kingdom is your fatherland. His holy city is your hometown. His house and castle is your real home, and this sanctuary is but a simple start, where you are welcome and where you belong. He's with you, here and now, and in the word of the cross, and in the fruits of that tree. Thus, dear ones in Christ Jesus, he grants you the strength to escape all perils, to stand before the Son of Man in his glory, to be justified by his blood and redeemed by his victory, to live by his grace and mercy and peace both now and forever, even as he has spoken from the cross for you. It is finished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.